Will you open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 2, that portion of the Word of God we have been studying for the past several broadcasts, as we have been attempting to draw from this second chapter lessons for us as we continue our pilgrim journey here on this earth. This chapter, of course, deals with the spies going into the land of Canaan to prepare the way for the nation of Israel to come in. We have suggested that you read all 24 verses of the chapter at one sitting and reread it, because all we have time to do is draw the lessons from the chapter, pointing out specific verses which are related to the lessons. You will gain more if you're familiar with the chapter itself. We have learned one lesson, the need of reconnaissance in our battle with the devil, the need of reliance upon the Lord as we do our battle with the enemy. And today we want to use another word to describe another lesson that comes to our attention in this chapter in our warfare. I use the word resolution. Decision-making would be another way to describe it, but I use the word resolution for the sake of alliteration. This woman, Rahab, came face to face with a decision. She was in a dilemma. Now put yourselves in her place now, instead of the place of the two spies, as we did in our last broadcast. Here are the officers of the king knocking at her door, and they said, "Give us the men which have come to your house." What would you have done if you had been in her place? Well, I suppose that most of us would have done exactly what she did if we decided not to turn the men in. She lied. She told a good one. Did you notice the lie that she told there in this passage of Scripture? She said to these men, "Well, it is true that some men did come here, but I had never seen them before. They left almost as soon as they came. I saw them running out the gate over there. They are going toward the hills. If you run after them, you'll probably get them. Hurry, go right now, because they will have a head start." And she timed it exactly right. You see, everybody in those days lived in cities with gates, if they lived in cities. And if you were caught outside the city after nightfall, the gates were shut, and you didn't get back in. So those men ran out, and immediately she signaled to the spies, "Time to close the gates," or to the men rather, "Time to close the gates," and down the gates came. And then she went up on the roof and said to these fellows, "You don't have any time to waste. They've gone toward the hills, and I'm going to let you down over the wall. Run out to the mountains and stay 3 days. If you don't, you'll meet them coming back." And she delivered these men of God. Now, we have a problem. Will you turn with me, please, in your Bibles, to the Epistle of James for a moment, so that you might see the problem more clearly. The Epistle of James, as you know, is an epistle that discusses the subject of salvation and works and salvation, and tries to settle a controversy that exists in the minds of men between salvation by faith and salvation by works. So in James chapter 2, will you notice verse 25? "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Now, when we go to the matter of lessons that we can learn about salvation, we will discover that this is justification before men. But this passage of Scripture, some critics say of the Word of God, teach that God was condoning the lie that Rahab told, and that presents a problem which has existed down through the ages, and that is this: does the end justify the means? Is it ever right to do wrong that you may do right? Have you ever faced those situations? This is where the matter of resolution comes in. Every Christian has been in some dilemma such as this at some time. The circumstances may not be exactly the same, but the dilemma is there. Is it ever right to do wrong that you may do right? Does the end justify the means? Now, perhaps on the surface you are going to say, well, this woman saved the lives of these two men and maybe opened up the entire land of Canaan. And even James said that God smiled upon it. You read the passage in James more carefully, will you? And you will notice that she was justified not by her works, but by her words, the testimony, the confession that she gave before these men. No, God was not justifying the lie that Rahab told. He was justifying her act of deliverance, not the lie that was told to the deliverer. Perhaps you're saying, well, what could she do? She did not need to lie, because God could have provided deliverance without it. What was she supposed to have done? She could have said, these men did come to my house, and they are here, but I'm not going to turn them over to you. Oh, you say, she couldn't have done a thing like that. Yes, she could. Would God have protected her? Yes, he would. Do you remember when the angels came to Sodom and to Gomorrah to lead Lot out of the city? The city was so eaten up with evil that the men of the city tried to attack the angels, and they went inside the house, and Lot went outside and pleaded with them and said, I'll even give you my daughters, but don't bother these men of God. And you remember what happened? God said, Lot, you don't need to offer your daughters as a sacrifice to the lusts of these men. I can take care of this. And he struck them all with blindness, so that they couldn't find the door of the house or a window or anything else. You see, God does take care of things. We don't need to lie to enable him to do it. One of his prophets was going to be attacked, and men might have thought there was some means and method of protecting him that were unrighteous, that were justified because of their use. And God again intervened with divine power, and there was no need. So I say to you that Rahab did not need to lie. He commended her open heart. He did not condone her lying. Now let's have something understood. We do not sit in judgment on Rahab. Remember, she was a young Christian, if we may use New Testament language again, and she didn't know too much about the principles of spirituality, and she may have lied before she thought. But what we can say of Rahab, we can't always say of a lot of us. Oh, maybe none of you, but some of us, even without being in as tight a spot as she was, lie, and we rationalize. We say, well, it was for a good purpose. And I would suggest this to you. If you have to make a resolution, if you have to resolve a dilemma in which you are, do it always on the authority of God's word, and let God take care of the situation. But if in a moment of weakness you do lie, we are talking about lying now, we could talk about other things, if in a moment of weakness you lie, don't rationalize it. Don't say, well, I did it for a good purpose. Get alone with God somewhere and confess your sin. Tell God you lied. Tell him you're sorry you did. And if anybody can be helped by it, notice what I'm saying, if anybody can be helped by it, go to the person you lied to and tell them. Only if they can be helped. They may not have known you lied, you know. And if you go to them and tell them you lied after you've told God, you could cause them to stumble and do irreparable harm to them. There are some things that are better confessed only to God. You have no right to clear your own guilty conscience by robbing somebody else of the confidence they have in you, by going to them and saying, you know, I admit I lied. You tell God about it. Don't wash your dirty linen in public. Do it in private. One other thing I would like to suggest to you. because this dear soul was in a dilemma? You realize that she was a Canaanite, don't you? You realize that she was a citizen of Canaan. You realize that her king, to whom she had pledged allegiance, was asking her to turn over to him two men who were going to conquer her country. Should she be loyal to the king or true to God? Now, you haven't faced this situation yet, I suppose. I don't know how long the Lord Jesus Christ will tarry, but I'm going to suggest to you that, in my opinion, whatever it's worth, if he tarries very long, you may be faced with this same dilemma. You may be faced with a resolution. You may be faced with having to decide whether you're going to be true to God and disloyal to your country, or deny God in order to be loyal to your country. It may come to that. Now, what are you going to do? Well, you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. What should I do? Well, let me suggest to you that I believe, outside of Rahab's lie, she did exactly what every child of God would be obligated to do. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 13, and read, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." This certainly would deny that civil demonstrations of our day are honored of God. This passage of Scripture says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or under governors, whether it's the top man or the little man. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." When we read, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake," somebody says, "But these ordinances are unjust." Submit anyway. There never was a more unjust period in the history of the world than when Nero was on the throne, and this was the time that Peter was talking about. But somebody says, "Suppose that the ordinances of man violate my conscience." Submit. What is your conscience? Your conscience may not be anything like mine, because you may have entirely different principles than I have. That's the reason why the Word of God never does say anything about conscientious convictions. If your conscience is violated, check your conscience with the Word of God. Well, suppose those ordinances violate my responsibility to God. Ah, there you are. Now you have something to consider. And here is the answer: honor all men, love the brethren, love one another, fear God, and honor the king. Notice, fear God, then honor the king. God comes first. And when you fear him, reverence him, your other obligations will take care of themselves.